Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. In just a moment, we will begin reading in verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, and we'll read in just a second to verse 35. I love Sunday nights. I love Sunday nights here at Bellevue. I love how we pray. I love how we sing. I love how we worship. I love the Word of God. I just enjoy this time so much. Appreciate you being here tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that we all want. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't want to be forgiven by the Lord. But sometimes it's not something that we necessarily would like to give to other people. We want it for ourselves, but we sometimes don't want to give it to other folks. And I just want to encourage you, the Bible says that if you're not willing to give forgiveness, you are not going to experience forgiveness. That's a strong word, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Let's look at this scripture. I know that you know it, but let's look at it, one of the most important stories Jesus ever told. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, this is Matthew 18, verse 21, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king, who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means, or a good King James word, the wherewithal to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground. Excuse me. He prostrated himself before the king, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground. He began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Now we're studying the questions of Jesus. And here Jesus is asking a question through a king in the story. And here it is in verse 33. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Let's all read that together. Let's read it off the screen. Here we go. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Now, what's the answer to that question? Yes or no? Yes, you should. That's what Jesus, that's the point he's making. He's not asking for information. He's making a point. That's what he always does with this question. Verse 34, and his Lord moved with anger. Notice before, back in verse 27, the Lord of that slave felt compassion, but now he's moved with anger. Verse 34, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. It's a picture of a hell-like existence. And then here is the bottom line. Boom. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you. Jesus didn't talk in obscurity. He didn't talk where people, he said, I'm talking to you. When he applied things, he said, you. He didn't say we. He didn't say all of us. He said, you. My heavenly Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. This text, in many ways, has virtually lost its meaning in our day. But when Jesus said these words, they were startling and very hard to believe by his hearers. Let's just talk about it. Number one, this text teaches that God is merciful. God is merciful. Look back at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, if you understand what's behind this, you see this is a major, interesting text right here. Peter was really feeling his oats. He was just saying, boy, you know, and they had just been talking about church discipline. If you go back up in here, back in the previous verses, beginning at verse 15 all the way down through verse 18, if somebody is caught in a trespass and they have sinned and they're in the church, you go to them, you confront them. If they repent, fine. If they don't, you go back with two more people and you two or three more people and you approach them again. And if they don't repent then you bring them to the church. And if they don't repent before the church, you kick them out of the church. Now, nowadays, they say, oh, we can't do that. Well, we're still supposed to operate that way because the name of the church is more important than anybody else's name. And so right after that, Peter comes up and says, I'm in the spirit of all this. Now, Lord, I want to ask you, if somebody doesn't go through church discipline, if they really repent, now, I want to get this straight, Lord. If my neighbor, if somebody out there sins against me and they repent seven times, that church discipline thing, do I forgive them? Now, Peter and Jesus knew that the rabbis taught that you forgive somebody up to three times. After that, they're a lost cause. They get three shots, kind of like three strikes and you're out. That's it. Three is it for the rabbis. So Jesus knows where Peter got forgiving seven times. It was back in Genesis 4:15. When Cain had killed his brother, and he said, if you don't protect me, I'm a dead man. God said in Genesis 4, verse 15, so the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And so this is a play on Cain's words in Genesis 4. Lord, shall I be a sevenfold forgiver? Shall I be, Lord, like the people you said you were going to give sevenfold vengeance on the killer of Cain? Should I forgive somebody like Cain who has sinned that badly? And Jesus, just like that, knew exactly where he was in the Old Testament, goes right to the end of Genesis 4, and he said, no, it's more than that, buddy. It's 70 times 7. Now, where was that in the Bible? There's a man, a descendant of Cain, named Lamech. And Lamech said later on that in Genesis 4:24, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Now, Jesus was not affirming Lamech, but he was saying, he said, oh, that's the chapter you want to talk out of? Let's get another number out of there. You think you're being generous. What I'm saying to you is, Peter, 490 times, 7 times 70, if he comes back sincerely repenting, you've got to forgive him. And what Jesus is saying there, not that if you get to 471, you don't forgive him. He's just trying to say, look, if somebody sincerely repents, we need to forgive them. That's the whole teaching of the whole text. Because God is a merciful God. How many of you know that we all mess up? Can I get an amen on that? We all need mercy. We all need grace. We want it for ourselves. But sometimes we want to put a number on, well, what's the limit on your mercy for other people? Lord, I want unlimited mercy for me, but what is the limit? Is it 70? Jesus said, no, the limit of mercy is 70 times 7. Verse 23, then for this reason, go back to Matthew 18, for this reason the kingdom of heaven, Jesus starts telling this beautiful story, may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Here you have Jesus being a good rabbi. The Jewish rabbis of the first century constantly, when they talked about God, would tell stories about a king and his slaves or his sons. The king would represent God in rabbinical teaching, and these sons or these slaves would represent the people of God. So Jesus, being a good Jewish rabbi, picks up this rabbinical form of teaching. And then he talks about settling accounts. That's a picture of judgment. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. This is God judging people. Verse 24, when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. How much is that, Brother Steve? I'll tell you momentarily. You're going to be shocked. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. This slave owed the king a vast amount of money. He had to have been a high-ranking officer himself, or he could have never gotten that deeply in debt. Poor people don't get that deeply in debt. This was a rich man, not as rich as the king, but he got way in debt. The amount that is referred to here today is at least $1 billion, and some people say it's up to $1 trillion. Now, let me just give you a little heads up on that. A billion is 1,000,000,000. And then a trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. That's a lot of money. This guy had really blown it. He had blown the king's money. And now he's broke. He's got to repay the king everything, or his family and he would be sold into slavery until the debt would be paid. That meant that the debt would never be completely paid, but something was better than nothing. The king said, I won't ever get all my money back from this guy, but something's better than nothing. They're going to work as slaves the rest of their lives. His children will die old men and old women in my jail, paying me and my descendants back. I'm not letting this guy get away with this. No. Throwing people who were in debt, throwing them in jail, was common practice in the first century. That's why it was no shockarooski for them in Proverbs 22, verse 7, when Solomon said, the rich rules over the poor. They understood that. And the borrower becomes the lender's slave. They understood that debt is not the way to live. They understood that while debt was not sin, debt was so dangerous, because you could get your whole, if you didn't pay back in this day, you didn't just file and some lawyer get you off the hook. You didn't proclaim bankruptcy. You went to jail. Your family went to jail, and the ones you owed ruled over you. You literally were ruled over by people the rest of your life. Then you would die in jail working to pay off this debt, and then your children and descendants would die in jail. That's how serious unpaid debts used to be. Nowadays, oh, just get a lawyer. You know, just I'm not against lawyers, but I'm just saying, let's just get off the hook. No responsibility. I don't really have anything to worry about. I'll just go bankrupt and start another business over here. Can I say to you, that kind of thinking is killing our country. destroying our country. And it creates people not who are venturous, but they're absolutely out of control. Out of control. I want to say this to you. If you owe somebody some money, I would encourage you not to take bankruptcy. I would encourage you to pay every penny that you owe. Every penny that you owe. Because you don't answer to man. You answer to God. You say, well, it's legal. So is abortion. So is gay marriage. A lot of things legal that are not legal in God's eyes. If you owe somebody some money, pay them. If it takes the rest of your life. When he had begun to settle them, well, I've already talked about that. Verse 26, so the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. Now, you know what? That's a desperate man. There's no way he's going to be able to pay that debt. But he's begging. Now, you know, put yourself in that place. What would you do? And by the way, do your sins affect your family? Did his sins affect his family? I'm listening. Yes. When he was irresponsible, he put his wife in danger. He put his children in danger. He put all his family in danger. And I got news for you. When you sin, we put our whole family in danger. Don't talk about this stuff. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. He fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me. I'll pay you everything. He's a frantic man. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion. Let's say those words together. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion. The Lord of that slave in the parable is God. He felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. What do you think that old boy thought? He's down on his face. He's crying out. All he can see is his little children in jail until they're old people dying in jail, trying to pay back $1 trillion that they'd never pay with what they'd get for working in the jail. And he's crying out, God, oh, King, forgive me. I'm sorry. I've been a fool. Oh, forgive me. And the king said, hey, forget it. I feel compassion. I forgive your debt. You think he said, well, praise the Lord. I bet you that guy was doing cartwheels out of there, don't you? Oh, sweetheart, you don't understand. The king forgave us. Oh, children, come to daddy. The king forgave us. I don't have any money. I don't have a job, but I don't have to go to jail. You don't have to go to jail. I'm free. I can go get another job. That's not what he did, though. We'll get to that in a minute. How many of you, if you owed that kind of money, would be glad if the man you owed would forgive you of everything? How many of you know Jesus? You've been forgiven a lot more than $1 trillion. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And I cried out to him and I said, God, have mercy on me. And he came up to me and said, Steve Gaines, your sins are forgiven. How many of them, Lord? All of them. Lord, do you know what I've done? All of them. For how long, Lord? Forever. God, you're going to forgive me for everything? For everything. I forgive you. I forgive you. God is a merciful God. But Brother Steve, I've had an abortion. Repent of it, and God says, I forgive you. I forgive you. But I've gone through a divorce. Repent of it. And God says, I forgive you. But I've committed some sexual sin. Repent of it. God says, I forgive you. I forgive you. I give you mercy. God is a merciful God. When you truly repent, repent means a change of mind and attitude that results in a change of action. It's that about face I'm always telling you. That 180, that U-turn, where you don't live like you used to live. You don't do what you used to do. You don't even desire it anymore. What used to be enticing to you is now repulsive to you. That is how you know you've reached repentance. And God says, when you reach repentance, I forgive you. How many times? 70 times 7. I've completely forgiven you. You think that old boy was happy? For a moment he was. He walks out of the king's presence. And we come to point two. God is merciful. Say that with me. God is merciful. But number two, people can be merciless. Look at verse 28. But it's a contrasting conjunction. It's saying, now that's what the king did. In other words, that's what God did. Now let me show you what the man did. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He seized him, began to choke him. Now, you know what? The king didn't seize him, didn't choke him. And you got to see this. He's got the man, and really the picture is he's got him by the throat, shaking him, saying, pay me what you owe me. Isn't that how you'd act if you just got forgiven for $1 trillion? Now, the money he owed him was about the equivalent of around $500,000. That's a lot of money. But it's nothing compared to a million, all right? In contrast, it's just not the same thing. Now, listen, that guy, I don't know if he had heard about what this man had said to the king, because it's verbatim what he says. But he falls at the feet of this man who had been forgiven by the king. And here's what he says. Verse 29, his fellow slave. That tells you right. Jesus said, this guy is just like the other slave. But he didn't know. Listen, he was not as bad as the slave he was talking to. He only owed $500,000. That other guy had blown a lot more money than that, so he wasn't as great a sinner, if you will, as the other guy. But notice, his fellow slave fell to the ground. He began to plead with him, exactly like the other man. Have patience with me, I'll repay you. But, notice these conjunctions here. He was unwilling. He went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Oh, Brother Steve, I don't like that man. I can't believe he did that. Fellow slave did what the forgiven slave had done. Sincerely asked for mercy and forgiveness, but the forgiven slave refused to give forgiveness and mercy, the same mercy he had received. Instead, he threw him into prison. The phrase says he was unwilling. It shows that the servant had consciously chosen to harden his heart. He was unjust. He was hypocritical in the highest order. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does that man describe you? Now, what are you talking about? If you're a Christian, you've been forgiven for more than billions. But when someone sins against you and you refuse to forgive them for relatively small things, after they have repented, It's like they owe you a few thousand dollars. Here's the crux of the issue that's at stake. If God forgives you for your debt of billions, perhaps trillions, when you genuinely repent, shouldn't you forgive others who genuinely repent when they owe you only thousands? Should you forgive them? I ask you a question. Should you forgive them? Why? Because you've been forgiven, right? And people that are forgiven a lot should forgive other people, right? But sometimes they don't. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes you don't, sometimes I don't. People can be merciless. Let me give you an illustration. When somebody falls into sin, what do you do? Do you, in your heart, condemn them? Or do you look at them, look to heaven and say, God, please be with them. Bless them in this time. Be merciful to them, because, Lord, there but by your grace go I. If it wasn't for your grace, Lord, that could be me right there. Don't you think that's a little bit more like Jesus? Don't you think maybe that's the Lord? Sure it is. Do you want to be like this unforgiving man? He wanted forgiveness for himself, but he refused to give it to others. People can be merciless. God is merciful. People can be merciless. Now here's the bottom line. God punishes mercilessness. Not an easy word to say, but it is a word. God punishes the lack of mercy. Look at verse 31. So, when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. But that wasn't all they did. They came, they reported to their lord, the king, all that had happened. The other servants saw and knew the whole story, and they were outraged. They immediately told the king, and the king pronounced judgment on the slave whom he had already forgiven, who was not willing to forgive others. Look at verse 32. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not, here's our question, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Shouldn't you forgive people the way that I forgave you? And his Lord, moved with anger. Don't tell me God doesn't get angry. Sure he does. Sure he does. But his anger is always righteous anger. The anger of man is not righteous, but the anger of God is. He handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. He'd already told his wife, oh, sweetheart, we're not going to go to jail. Oh, children, come on, we're not going to jail. Now they're all going to jail. Why? Because their dad blew it. Where did he blow it, Brother Steve? He blew it by not giving the same forgiveness that he had received from the Lord, from the King, from his Master. And Jesus concludes with this awesome statement, verse 35, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Look at me. How many of you want mercy from God? Anybody? I'm going to tell you the only way you're going to get it. Number one, to ask for it. Number two, to give it to other people. Oh, but Brother Steve, you don't know. That man stole $100 from me. What is $100 compared to what you did to Jesus? That woman talked about me. What is that compared to how they spit upon Jesus on the cross? Nobody has done anything to you compared to what all of us did to Jesus. And Jesus forgave us. You have no right, no right, no ground whatsoever not to forgive. What did Jesus do? Is he our example? What did he do? What was the first thing out of his mouth on the cross? Father, what? Say it with me. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. Guess what? We still don't know what we're doing, and we still need forgiveness. You want forgiveness? You got to give forgiveness. You want mercy? You got to give mercy. Don't get so high and mighty. Don't think you're a big deal. Don't think, well, God's got me reproving these people. I got to do. You better be real humble. I'm not saying we should never reprove anybody. I'm not saying we shouldn't ever go into the church discipline thing, but I am saying this. You better be real careful. Each one looking to himself, the Bible says in Galatians 6, lest you fall into sin. I'm going to tell you. I want mercy. Spurgeon, when Spurgeon would hear about somebody sinning, you know what he would say? He wouldn't say, expose it. He would say, cover it up. Lord Jesus, cover it with the blood of Jesus. Oh God, cover it up. I'm not talking about covering up things that need to be out there, but I am saying this. You'd better not get any satisfaction about anybody being punished for their sin. You'd better not get any. And you better not refuse to forgive somebody for some little paltry thing that they did to you 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They told a lie on me. They did this to me. I just want to say this to you. If you want mercy, you'd sure better give it. Is it me or is it quiet in here? Matthew 5, 7. Let's all stand up. When I stand before God, do you ever think about standing before God? When I stand before God, I don't want justice. I want what? What do I want? Mercy. You say, what are you going to say when you stand before God? I'm going to look at Jesus and look at the Father. I'm going to say, I'm with him. I'm with him. If I'm not with him, I got no hope. Let's say this together. Read it with me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Say it again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Say it again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the who? Why? How many of you want mercy? What do you need to do? All right. Now, if you'll just take that home, this has been a good sermon. Amen? If you're going to err, err on the side of mercy. If you're going to err, err on the side of grace. If I get to heaven and God says, Gaines, you were just too merciful, I can handle that. I'm not minimizing that somebody did you wrong, but don't you minimize what you've done to God. And you quit focusing about what somebody has done to you and start focusing on what you've done to God, and you will become merciful. That's your problem. You don't realize how serious your sin is against God. You are worse than you think. You say, well, I just thank you for blessing me with that, Pastor. I appreciate it. I am blessing you. You are worse than you think. You are capable of doing ungodly, unheard of things if the right circumstances were there. So don't get all high and mighty. Stay on your face before God and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Isn't that the guy in Luke 18 that got the answer? Not the guy that was praying over there saying, God, I know you're so proud of me. I fast, I pray. Boy, you're lucky to have me on your team. God said, he didn't hear him, but that one guy that said, Lord, beating his breath, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's the one that got forgiven. And I want to be forgiven.